Because my struggle to the Lord was this. I was honest with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't think I can honestly die for another person. Some, but not all. And if you're honest, if you're really honest with the Lord, you will say you're willing to die for some cause or die for some people. But would you die for your enemies? Thank you for your honesty. Then you know how to pray for you. But Jesus died for us when we were enemies of God. I couldn't comprehend that. And the Lord told me, son, if you can see what I can see will take place after I die for you, you will be willing. Immediately I understood. If you knew that through your dying, there will be 10 billion people who will come to God, would you do it? I would. I would volunteer. See, Jesus knew ahead of time the results of what he's doing. In other words, he knew the rewards. The Bible did say in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that the Lord saw what was ahead when he went to the cross. So remember, it's important to see the prize, to stand the trials now that you go through. In chapter 7 to 10, in the latter rain, the preparation is different. In the latter rain, and partly what we are talking about is the times that we are in. Very peculiarly, we have just gone through in the 20th century the Pentecostal revival of baptism in the Spirit, a revival of world evangelism, a revival of praise and worship, a revival of the Word of God, a revival of prayer that's still going on, a revival of prophecy which is happening in our days. So close to the pattern that they're having in the book of Ezra. The former rain is being restored. We have not really tasted, my friends, the latter rain yet. All the attributes of the former rain, where prophetic ministry is coming forth, and prophecy is coming forth among the people. The former rain. What about the latter rain? The latter rain, my friends, is a preparation to meet the Lord Jesus as the bride. In the book of Ezra chapter 7, Ezra was sent back by the king. In Ezra chapter 7 verse 26. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation of goods or imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart. Notice in verse 27. To beautify the house of the Lord. Now this is a different reason, different theme now. In chapter 1 to 6 you see restoration. Everything that has to do with former rain is restoration. But when you want to deal with latter rain, it's beautification. The latter rain is beautification. The temple was already finished, completed, but Ezra was going to beautify it and bring the ultimate perfection to it. Although the word beauty is used in many ways today, but the essence of beauty is perfection. What you call beauty, today's people's idea of beauty, and there's even a proverb that says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We realize that there is a standard form of what we really call beauty also. Otherwise, there will be no commercial things going on what is really beautiful. And we realize that the essence of beauty is perfection. perfection. So what is happening in the latter rain is to bring forth perfection. You know, to the Lord, it's not a handsome face, a beautiful face, or beautiful body, or beautiful clothes that really we sing about as beauty. It's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That has nothing to do with how you look like physically. What is beauty to the Lord? True beauty, that when the Lord looks down from heaven and says, "Ah, you are beautiful, my beloved," is when you are perfectly like Him. Character, righteousness, holiness. That's the true beauty that the Lord looks for in His bride. Some of you are married, some of you are not married, some of you are engaged to be married. Most of you, whatever you do, you would think of your loved one as reasonably beautiful at least, right? You won't, on your wedding day, go right out and say, "Yucks!" In whatever form. Don't you think the Lord Jesus wants to have received a beautiful bride? The Lord Jesus wants a beautiful bride. He doesn't want a bride that comes in and all for the wedding in rags, sick and ugly, deformed. No, the Lord wants a beautiful bride. And the church of Jesus is not perfectly yet. One preacher said, you know, one look at the church of Jesus Christ and Jesus will be up there with the Father and say, "Father, please postpone the wedding." To the Lord, beauty is perfection. And what are the attributes that really bring perfection? After all the other revivals of all these other things, we realize here that there are only two areas that fully bring perfection. Right? The second can be divided into smaller areas. The Word and prayer. I'm talking about in our life. I'm not talking about what we do. What we do that is beautiful to the Lord is worship. That's why I say worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That means before you can worship the Lord, you must be in the beauty of holiness. How to get into the beauty of holiness? That is the Word and prayer. If you look over at the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, when it talks about the bride in verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the bride of Jesus. It talks about scrubbing and the cleansing that comes because of the saturation of the Word. This is what I believe, that as we go closer and closer to the Lord, more and more we are going to think the Word, speak the Word, desire the Word, live the Word, until we are like Jesus. We become literally the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. And so here in chapter 7, Ezra has a special commission. That is to bring the completion and the reality of the Word to God's people in his days. And he succeeded at it. He did it in such a marvelous way. And in chapter 8, in order to come to the Word does two things. Before the Word unites you to God, the Word divides you from the world. That is why in chapter 8 and chapter 9, as he came to the chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, the three closing chapters, the major issue was the intermarriage of the Jewish people with the Gentile idol worshippers. Now understand the principle behind it, the spiritual significance. What it was saying was that the people were compromising. They were not separating themselves unto God. that will be a very difficult thing to do. Very difficult. It will mean going against your own emotions. Why? In those days, there were many Gentiles in those areas. It's one of the easiest things for a young man to fall in love with a young woman. And their emotions to get involved. A young priest falling in love with a young Gentile Baal worshipper. And you will have a love story, Romeo and Juliet there. But then God is saying, hey, he has this higher calling. And it's one of the most difficult things that people wrestle with in their lives. How to overcome their emotion to put God first. And Ezra, when he saw all the evil that's happened, the temple is built, the former rain has come, but the latter rain has not come. There's no perfection. The temple stands as it is. And they have a tremendous celebration. But in chapter 9, verse 3, when I heard this thing, I tore my garment, my robe, plucked some of my hair and beard, sat down astonished. I believe there was some sort of power that was on him. Because he sat like that until the evening. In that state, I mean, until the evening. The other person who did something like that is a prophet Ezekiel. Where later we read how when the news came about some captive somewhere, his mouth opened and he never closed again. All these strange things of the move of the Holy Spirit. Right? Sometimes we see people fall on the path and get all kinds of different situations. And wait till you see people half fall. Or something. We never know. Stuck under the power of God. I remember once when we were praying for somebody way back in the Penang days and we were praying. And then after we pray for a person, the person can talk but cannot move. Person said, get me out here. I said, we can't. Nothing is holding you there. Right? Say, what's happening? And we found out God was dealing with the person and wouldn't let the person go. So, here is Ezra. He was, I'm sure you remember the story of Amy Semple McPherson, where she was preaching halfway and she go and she didn't move anymore. And the rest of the meeting, everybody looking at her, turned into a statue. And for quite a few days, since it was cold in winter, they tried to move her when the meeting closed. And after the preacher stopped, what can they do? And there were some ushers that tried to carry her to put her in a warmer place. And they couldn't lift her up, although she was supposed to be very light. It seemed like she was cemented to the stage. Thank God I don't have that kind of anointing yet. I wouldn't want to be stuck in this place, right? And we have a lot of bills to pay, right, over the next few days. And so they tried to carry her and they couldn't. And so the news went abroad, even her eyes doesn't move. And people came and see that human statue for some days. And after that, there's a big crowd there, not 24 hours, people coming to see. And then suddenly she got out and continued the sentence where she was speaking. When she was stuck. She didn't even possibly notice that the crowd was different. So possibly that kind of thing happened to Ezra. He was stuck. And these are some of the things, although it looks so insignificant, these are some of the strange things that will take place the more we move into perfection. Let me share a few things on the realm of the spirit. Hagin himself is very, very frightened at times in his state on the moving in the spirit. He says there are times when he moves so deep in the spirit that he was afraid he will never get back. I'm sure you heard about how in a few times he came back and he taught in English and he couldn't speak in English. I was there in 81 in his meeting when he could not talk. Any word he say, he goes, blah, 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 the tongue's coming out. Some people think that they are making it up. But he said, no. There's an awesome fear that came upon him. And I understand that because this is possibly quite close to Enoch.